please. Thank you. Mr. Hall, thank you, sir. Tom, thank you. Job chapter 1, please. Job chapter 1. All right, let's all stand. We're going to begin reading in verse 6, please. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Sometimes when we read a passage that we have read many times before, it's easy to overlook the obvious. So there's something here that is extremely obvious, extremely simple, but it's easy to overlook. So let's read this together. We're going to talk tonight, and the subject is, and it's more of a theological looking at Job, the sovereignty of God in the sufferings of Job and broadly humanity. Most of you know, and some of it just, I don't know what it is. We live in strange times. I'll introduce my sermon before we read. When I was in the Philippines, I kept getting TikTok videos of Ronald Reagan. And by the way, if you have never seen Ronald, some of you like Ronald who? He used to be the president. Can I say this to you? To see Ronald Reagan on a stage is to realize we haven't had a president in a long time. I'm being serious. If you don't know, just do this. Go to YouTube and look up Ronald Reagan jokes or humor. And you'll just sit there and think, what happened? By the way, we had the chump. We have Biden. So, you know, unless you're asleep, you got to ask a question, what's going on in America? Of course, if you have a broader view, you realize what's going on in the world. We live in a strange time. Well, let's look at this text. All I want you to do is the introduction is to notice something that you see, and then all of a sudden you don't see it, and you have to be able to explain it. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. We're going to spend a whole Sunday night on Satan. It's our Sunday school, one of the two. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and, we'll use a modern term, avoids evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught, for nothing? Which, of course, is focusing the whole book of Job on this issue of how does a man and God relate? What is the proper basis of a relationship between man and God? Well, he goes on and says, Satan says, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But here it is. Are you guys ready for the transition? Listen to what he says and then what's not said right after this. Put forth whose hand? God, you put forth your hand. Well, the whole point tonight is how in the world does God rule and reign? Does God literally, I don't mean he has a body, but does he put forth his hand? Well, let's go ahead and read. He says, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. I thought it was God touching, and now it's Satan. Put forth thou thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside him. And the Sabians, wait a minute. We've gone from God to Satan to whom? You see, this answers the question, how does God rule and reign in this earth? Satan says, take your hand, God. And then God says, your hand, Satan. And now we're talking about who? Sabians? They took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven. I would assume lightning. And hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking. By the way, are you all noticing something? The cascade effect? One thing and another thing and another thing and another thing. While he was yet speaking, there came also and said the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. We have gone from God to Satan to Sabians, Chaldeans, maybe lightning, a great wind, and all of this. In some way, God is in control of it. So my sermon tonight really is, how does God rule and reign on the earth, in our mess, in this mess? Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'll help me to be able to say some very simple things so we can at least have a broad understanding of what you're doing in this world. Bless our time, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How does God work? What is God doing? One of the things I don't like to do is to travel outside of America at the present time. I don't like it for this reason. If you're on an airplane and you're seated by somebody that speaks English, sooner or later they're going. By the way, it happened in a place in the north. I know Atong has been there. You've been to Sagada, right? You don't even know where Sagada is. But it's someplace in the north, someplace I think in Mountain Province, by the way. And there were three French people there. And do you know what they asked me? What's going on with your president? Now, wait a minute. If it had been 2 years ago, they would have asked me, what's going on with your president? People are confused. And the question of, I'm watching, I don't know why, but I think TikTok is organized like everything else, that if you watch a video of Ronald Reagan telling a joke, then you start getting dozens of these, and I like his jokes. But all of a sudden, I started having longing, because I'm thinking, here was a man that was presidential, that nobody could look him in the eye and say he doesn't love America. Then I had an evil thought. Forgive me for having this thought. Not only would I like to go back to the days of Reagan, I would actually be more happy with Clinton than the last presidents we've had. Hello? And I voted against him twice. You say, why? What's God doing? Well, let's look in the text. The first thing we'll find that we must start when we think about God's ruling and reigning on this earth, Not that his kingdom is established, but God is sovereign. And what is he doing? That God does rule above all things, sovereignly. There is that peace that God is just in charge. And Job acknowledges that. Interestingly, Job begins there, and in a real sense, he will end there. Where he ends is going to be at an elevated position, but he actually begins with his earliest sufferings and ends at the end of the book in more or less in a better place, but in more or less the same place. So you know the text. Then Job arose. After all of these one after another after another. He arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and unbelievably worshiped. And then he speaks, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then the author says, "In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." So we begin with Job just looking around and realizing, I don't know what all's going on, but I know that my God is in control. He gives, he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He rules above all, sovereignly. We have to have this. It's got to be a piece of our thinking. Chapter 2, we find exactly the same thing. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her," and I think I've taught this in Sunday school and a year ago or so, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." He never calls her a fool. Remember, she had lost her children also. She had lost everything also. She's in the same predicament. But he's saying, "You're talking like a foolish woman." Then he makes, again, at the beginning, he says, what? "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips?" Well, we come to the end. The first speech of the Lord is finished, and then Job makes a short reply. "Moreover, the Lord answered Job, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?" Job, you want to come and present your case. Do you think you're going to instruct me? "He that reproveth God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." So friends, look up here. What is God doing? I don't know. We have missionaries in Brazil. Tom and I just talked about this for 30 seconds. I don't know if it was 4 years, because I don't remember. It was 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. Presidents have different reigns. But you do know that Brazil elected an extreme right-wing president for 4 years back, however often they do elections. Maybe you don't know this. Our missionaries, specifically the ones in São Paulo, my mind's not there now. Who? Coelhos. They were very happy. So they elected an extreme white right-winger. And the previous president, Lula, went to prison. They just got done with the election. Guess who the election was between? The right-winger and the communist, the guy that was in prison. And who won? The guy that was in prison. This is the world. Every place you go, it's like, friends, what is God? I don't know what he's doing, but I do know this. Above all, God reigns and rules sovereignly. And it gives me some comfort, actually great comfort, to know he's in charge. And sometimes when you're looking around trying to figure it out, maybe you have a different opinion. In some ways, I am very not political. I don't like politics. I don't like the bickering and the lying. I don't like a president getting on television and saying, this election is a great threat to democracy. Hello? Is anybody out there? By the way, an election is a democratic process, yes or no? So how could a democratic process be a threat to democracy? Actually, what he was saying, I hope, and by the way, you need to tell all of your friends when they're doing this, he was saying, this election is a great threat to the Democratic Party. That's what he was really saying. But even beyond that, why do we have people that are so insane? What's going on? I don't know, but I do know what Job says. At the beginning, he starts, God gives, God takes away, God reigns above all things. That's where we begin. Well, the Lord gives a second speech, and Job replies in chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. That is God's omnipotence. He is acknowledging that God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. We would call that God's omniscience. God knows all things. And then he asks rhetorically of himself, who is he, meaning Job, who is the person that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Do you all remember in Sunday school? Job's quest was to understand God. And at the end of the book, what is he saying? I don't need to understand anymore. Probably this is bigger than me. I must submit because the Lord rules above all sovereignly. He says, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I say in your notes, this does not answer every question. It is where we begin and end. In life, when you come to grips with the living God, somewhere in your early life, you start to begin with God is sovereign. He reigns over all. He's the one in charge. At the end of the story, at the end of one's life, you come right back to it because the very Lord that gave you life is taking your life, unless the rapture occurs, all of these things done under his sovereignty. So we always begin and end here. Hopefully, we end at a better place, not a lesser place. Next, it is also where we bow and worship. If God is not in control, we're a mess. Someone asked me, and I gave my typical answer, who do you want to be the next presidential candidate? This was my answer. By the way, you don't have to agree with me. This is political. I said last election, two elections ago, between Hillary and Trump, and between Trump and Biden, this is my opinion. If you were to take in a phone book of Chicago, which we don't have anymore, that phone book would be this thick. If you'd have simply done this, turn the phone book, and at a random name, chosen two names, they would have been as good as either presidential candidate. I mean, it's like, who are these people? How do these people get in this position of power? But I'm going to say this, friend, we have to come and bow before the Lord. It's where we bow, it's where we worship. And lastly, it is the only place we can find, I use the Hebrew word shalom, peace. You're never going to find peace in your own heart and in your own life and in your own world, meaning your own existence, apart from what Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to come and you have to find peace that God rules above everything sovereignly. Number two, God rules through all providentially. You say, what does that mean? Folks, look up here. Did you catch the drift? Satan looks at God and says, put forth your hand. And then a second later, God is saying, no, you put forth your hand. And then when we read the story, you don't see God or Satan's hand. You see how God fundamentally rules. And the ways we see it is God rules through all these things in ways we don't understand providentially. So God is providentially in the details of life bringing us to the place he wants us to go. I'm not going to read all the verses. Jennifer's already told me that we are now at, she didn't tell me the time, but what time is it? It is 20 minutes to 8. And she is jet lagged. So she wants to go home. But we're going to read the highlighted verses. Would you with me? Just read the highlighted portions. So the first thing in verse 15, this, God is using the Sabaeans. The Sabaeans fell upon them. Verse 16, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants. Verse 17, the Chaldeans, which has to have something to do with Iraqi people or people from Iraq at that time, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. I mean, you start to see God is not only sovereign above all, he reigns through all the, he doesn't usually show his mighty power directly. It's usually through all of these providential issues that God is using a fire from lightning maybe. He's using some Sabaeans. He's using some people from the north, the Iraqis, or today would be Iraqis, the Chaldeans. Next page, verse 19. And behold, there came a great... Well, you mean God can even use a wind from the wilderness? Atong, I'll say this to you because you and your wife would appreciate it. I had the privilege, I'll show photos some later, got to go to Sagada, which is pretty special. Got to go to the rice terraces in Banaue. By the way, I don't think there's a person in our church been there. Nobody. Even the people that grew up close. Were our first night in Sagada. We're exhausted. Because the Monday night, we had driven all night. Atong, you know, we drove Monday night into Tuesday just to get there all night. We get to Banaue during the day. We spend time in the rice terraces. And then we drive to Sagada. We eat some food. And everybody's exhausted because we haven't slept in a day. So I go to bed. I lie down. I've been asleep maybe 30 minutes. And all of a sudden it's this. And at first I thought, that's not my first thought. How many earthquakes have you been in recently? Zero. I didn't know what it was. My first thought was, I really must be tired. But at about 15 seconds, I realized, and oh, you don't understand, we're staying in a place in the mountains, and the place is built out over nothing. And I'm at the corner of the building, and I'm feeling this building. And for 15 seconds, this building keeps sliding back. And I'm thinking, well, if it falls, one thing's for sure, I'm going to heaven in a hurry. The second thing is, my wife won't bring my body back because she'll be down in some bottom of a mountain. After it stopped, you say, what did you do? Well, in my great confidence, I went, no, I didn't go back to sleep. I got up, and then it did it again. Oh. Friends, God uses all kinds of things. Might be that. Look in your notes. Sometimes he uses even earthquakes. He uses many things providentially to work out his will. Can I say one more thing before I'm done, before we go to the points? What's going on in America? Look at me. What's going on in the lives of people that you know and love? I do know this. I'll tell you exactly where we're going. We're going to God's appointed conclusion for this earth. If you want to know what that is, read Matthew 24. It's not peace, it's not love, it's not hugs and kisses. It's wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and disasters. We're actually going exactly where God says we're going. How long is it going to be? I don't know. In your notes. So this is found, and this is something that you can find every place, throughout the Scripture. And I'm going to use different concepts to say the same thing. It's God working so-called behind the scenes. Otherwise, you don't really see his hand, even though Satan said it was his hand, and it was ultimately his hand. But God is working somehow behind the scenes. You don't exactly see what he's doing. Next, God is working in the details, in the very small details of life. And sometimes we see this, sometimes you will move through life and look back and say, well, praise God. Tom, I've said this to you before I left, and you know it. When your wife said you found a document, a picture of your uncle, from what year was that? To find a picture from 1955, what are the chances? Not good. He finds this picture, which not only has a picture of your uncle, but he's at a specific kind of school that then confirmed to the authorities, the people in charge, he does have a problem. They knew about it when he was a kid. What are the chances of that? But that's how God works. God works through many small things, big things, behind the scenes, in the details, in your notes. We also see God working, and this is typical theology because it's important to see it this way. God working through secondary sources and causes. And I say secondary plus, plus, plus. I actually think it's levels. Most of the time when we look at things, we're not going to see God directly act. We're going to see, it's almost like a cascade of events and causes and issues. And then all of a sudden, somehow, through this, God gets the glory, God's purposes are accomplished through many different things, and secondary or tertiary, and on down the road, causes. And that's how God works providentially, through many different things. Next, God working for our good and his glory. Everybody in this room has heard that. Everybody in this room can quote that statement. But God does work ultimately for our good and for His glory. I won't read every verse. Let's just read Acts 4:27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou, and this is the church praying, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, here is part of God providentially working. He's using Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, kind of a criminal kind of a guy. He used Pontius Pilate. He also used the Gentiles. Probably some of the troops that were there would not have been Jewish. They would have been Gentiles. We don't know where they were from. And he also used Jewish people, the people of Israel. And all of these various groups with various loyalties and various hatreds gathered together. And then you have it. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So friend, our God, He works above all, sovereignly accomplishing His will. Our job is to bow before that and to worship Him, finding great comfort. He also works through all kinds of things. And sometimes you're like, what are you doing? But God is working. But He's working for His purposes, not necessarily our own. Number three, God works with all, governmentally. The hardest part is this. Job 1, verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Job 2, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, the Lord says to Satan, Job is in your hand, but spare or save his life. Friends, this is the harder part. What does God do with evil? What does God do with evil people? Are there evil people? The answer would be yes. Our God, right here in Job, we've read it all many times, with this conflict in heaven, Satan didn't do what Satan wanted to do. In some way, not in some way, absolutely, Satan was controlled in a governmental kind of way and could only do what the Lord allowed him to do. So the Lord not only is sovereign above all things, He's also working in the details, but He even uses who? He uses who? Satan? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 45. I think everybody knows this text. One of the great prophecies. Isaiah 45, please. I think we'll start in chapter 44, verse 25, if we could, previous chapter. He's talking about himself here. In verse 25, it says, that frustrateth tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servants, talking about God, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited. And to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. Thus saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. Thus saith to Cyrus, or of Cyrus. Friends, this is hundreds of years before Cyrus came on the scene, a Persian king. God is giving a prophecy, but the prophecy is that God was going to use this pagan king. It says, he is my shepherd. A pagan king is my shepherd? Yes, because governmentally, God works his way in the world through even pagan kings. It says, he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built into the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. So the Lord himself makes this prophecy and calls the Persian king, way distant in the future, his shepherd. Verse 1, thus saith the Lord, to his, what's the next word? Let's make that English from Hebrew. What is the word anointed? He's calling a pagan king his Messiah. Mashiach. What? So may I say this to you? What's going to happen in the election this week? Well, I know what's going to happen in Illinois. I'm going to vote, and my vote will be of worthless, of no value. But I'm still going to vote. I'm going to vote for against every knucklehead in this state, which, by the way, the list is pretty long. I'm going to vote against everything they want to play because everything is a power grab. But may I say this? At the end of the day, our God is not limited to the people in Springfield or the people in Chicago or the craziness. He rules and reigns, and he can look at a pagan person that has no interest in him and call that pagan person, you're my anointed. You're the one that I have chosen. You're the one that's going to let the Jewish people, after the exile, come back and rebuild the temple. Unbelievable. Let's read that again. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, his Mashiach, his Messiah, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have hidden, holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him. And I don't know what all this means. The two leave gates, and the gate shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of the brass, and I will give you. He's talking to Cyrus, treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. Our God rules over with all kinds of things governmentally. One last text we'll look at, Revelation 17, verse 16. This is in the future. One of my favorite verses in Revelation because it shows you that our God is not bound by human evil and evil people. Revelation 17, 16. The ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast. There's a political side to the Antichrist. These shall hate the whore, the prostitute, which is the religious side, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Why? Unbelievably. For God hath put in their hearts. Everybody look at me. Did you read that? This is talking about thousands, maybe millions of people. God is going to sway their very from the heart. God is going to induce them to do, well, what does it say? God is going to put in their hearts to do what? He says to agree. Or to, first of all, to fulfill his will. So pagan God haters will fulfill his will. They're going to agree. They're going to give their kingdoms unto the beast until the word of God shall be what? Fulfilled. Underneath that, I simply say this. The sheer detail defies description. I will be done by 7. I'll say this to you. There are people that believe God cannot, look at me, cannot force your hand. Friend, I don't believe that God normally coerces people, meaning he doesn't grab a person around the throat, so to speak, and put his arm up. But our God can put in a person's heart so that person chooses exactly what they want, but that is in exact accordance with what God wants, and he can do this with millions and billions of people. Our God rules in the details, yes, but he also rules with all of the evil and evil people, and he does it effortlessly, so to speak. The sheer detail defies description. I'll say this, you don't have to like this. You don't have to even understand it. God uses evil. God uses evil people, and God will even use the evil one, Satan, for his own purposes. So friends, when Satan is threatening God, saying, God, you're protecting Job, Satan thought he was getting his will. But our God was using Satan for his own purposes. So God rules above everything. He rules in the details. But some way he rules with even Satan, evil people. He doesn't sin. He doesn't cause sin. But he works with even our evil desires. Lastly, and this is beautiful. I think you all will agree. God rules in all, or we could say beneath all, lovingly. Paternally simply means as a father. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Our God does things. He does things because he loves us. He loves his people. He loves his people Israel. He loves the church. And my friend, because of that, our God rules. Yes, he rules above everything. Yes, he rules through all the details. Yes, he brings into this evil people with evil designs. When it comes to us, he rules in all of us, beneath all things, lovingly, as a father. We will conclude with Proverbs 3:11. I memorized these two verses at Lake County Baptist Church in 1977. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord, what? For whom the Lord? For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. The sovereignty of God. He rules above all, sovereignly. He rules through all, providentially. He rules with all, governmentally. And he rules in all, lovingly, paternally. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this, an introduction to how you work. We all have questions. Sometimes we get a little glimpse of your providence in finding a document from 1955. Sometimes we don't understand why evil people have such sway, because we forget that you also rule with them. They're your lackey. You're not the lackey. There, Satan was your devil. And Father, thank you that you can do these. But we thank you most of all that if we're your child, you love, you do reign beneath all as a father who loves us, who has our best interest in mind. May we walk from here tonight remembering, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, because you love us. These things we give thanks in Christ's name.